We're going to start by working an example today from the book 3.9. And I'll draw a simplified version of their figure. So I have kind of a bearing type thing there. It's down, out. And there's a disc. Actually, let's make that a little. So it is actually have some perspective to it. Get there eventually. That attaches to the center of this, that's supposed to be nominally round. It's a fixed 60 degrees. And then we have some rotation. They say it's 20. It doesn't really matter too much. And then the disc is spinning that way, and they say what, 3,600 revolutions a minute. All right, and we'll label a few things up here. To match the book, let's call that A. The center of that disc is B. Disc has radius R. What else do we need? I think that's it to get us started. These two angular velocities or spin rates are fixed. They're constant. Okay. And what we want are angular velocity and the angular acceleration of the disk. Okay, so let's start out by kind of thinking about this physically, if we can, which I always encourage you guys to do. Do we anticipate this having angular acceleration? Non-zero angular acceleration. Has it? Could be zero. We have two fixed rotation rates.
Yes, but we don't have a length of the rod connecting them.
That's fixed as well. This is a rigid link. So do we have angular acceleration? Well, just think about the disk is spinning at that. That's constant. We have angular velocity. And what about acceleration? We have angular acceleration.
The frame would, right? Because, I mean, wouldn't the orientation be changing?
Yes, there you go. That's what I'm looking for. So, yeah, I'm getting right there. So even though we have fixed rotation rates, right, the axis that this guy is spinning on is changing direction. So we have an angular acceleration even though we have two fixed rotation rates. Got that? Right. So just because, and we kind of pointed out in the equations before, this is going to be an example of it, that even when you have fixed rotation rates, you can have angular acceleration if you're rotating about something that's not fixed in space. Right. So let's work through what we have here. So the first thing I'm going to recommend is let's define some frames. Okay. And what we want to do is try to align them with our axes of rotation to make it easy for us. Right. So I'm going to say, hey, that's a capital Z there around that first axis. Okay. I'll match how the book does this and we'll talk. Y. They call that small z and z hat. The hat's just to signify it's something different. It's nothing special mathematically. Okay. So we have frames that guy's fixed. And z's vertical, that's fine. Small x, y, z, let's say, is rotating think of it as being affixed to the disk, basically. So we can draw it some kind of general orientation x, y, and then z is along the axis. Right. And then we have that set of hatted axes that's fixed to AB. So it's rotating at 20 radians a second, but not spinning. All right. So those are our axes. Okay. So how do we get to angular velocity? Now, of a body.
You sum all the simple rotations.
Sure. So I'm going to have some omega of the disk. Okay, what kind of rotations do we have? So let's call this guy, let's just use symbol, let's call this, that speed, omega 1, subscript 1, let's call this rotation rate, omega 2. So we have some rotation rate, and you say, hey, it's about the z-axis. What else do I have? So I could write it as small k, or I could write it as small k hat. Okay. What is the rotation rate of capital X, Y, Z, that frame?
Zero.
Zero, right. So if I'm going to look at this guy, that I know that's zero. So let's call that one. Capital omega 1, let's say. We know, hey, that's 0 in this case. That frame is not moving at all, or not rotating at all. Okay. All right. Get us all we need. What is, let's call it omega 2. What is the, and this could be a vector, angular velocity of that frame? Well, it's maybe part of it. What's the total angular velocity of that frame? If it's fixed to the disk.
Omega disk?
Yeah, it's just omega. We're defining that because we're going to need that when we go to get the angular acceleration. Okay. To get the angular acceleration, we just need to take the total time derivative of the angular velocity. Right. So some things we could do here, right? If we were trying to do anything else with this other than just find it, you need to write these guys in the same frame. Right. And then you could collect terms in each direction or whatever. Right. How would you go about doing that? Yeah, so you figure out, hey, well, how do I get from z to small z? What are those rotations? Right, and it's 60 about something, and then whatever this rotation is. You also could go and write everything in the hat axis, because that guy's not spinning with the disk. That might be a little bit easier, actually, because you can back out. You don't need to worry about this angle the disk is actually at, which quite often we won't really care about if it's just they're spinning indefinitely. So you could take everything back to that fixed axis. You could write everything in the hatted axis if you want. You could write everything in the small x, y, z if you want. Right, but the operations to get between those is the same. Figure out those rotation matrices and away you go. And we'll actually maybe go through that for the acceleration. We can take this guy, though, if we want the angular acceleration. It's just the total time derivative. Well, let's be explicit about that for once. Capital K, omega 1, capital K dot, small k. Okay, what are these? A zero. W1, this one? Why?
Because that axis is fixed.
That's right. So, that guy's zero. What else is zero?
W2 dot.
We said that rotation rate was fixed, so that guy is zero. What else? One more. We said that it was fixed at 20 radians a second. Zero. Okay. So we have some component left here. Well, what is k dot? Let's review. A vector in space. Its time derivative is what? For an arbitrary vector.
The slope of it? Just the how fast it's moving with respect to the axis system or the coordinate system set?
Yeah, kind of. What's the equation? We wrote this out on the board a couple times. We even looked at the case for how it simplifies for a unit vector. Look familiar, maybe? Hopefully. Right, so we have this kind of relative derivative. So we assume the frame that we're describing that vector in is fixed. Take the derivative of it. Okay. Then we have the angular velocity of the frame we're using to describe the vector crossed with the vector itself. Okay. So for a unit vector, well, it's a fixed length, so that goes away. We just have this. Right. So we have, in this case, well, what's the angular velocity of k? Well, we said that was small omega. We have that. By just plugging k in over there. Okay.
What's the big omega?
These guys, I'm using that to describe the angular velocity of this frame.
Okay.
So this big omega is that omega. Okay. All right, so there we have everything defined, basically. All right, let's maybe do a quick one where we get one of these into the same frame as everything. So let's write in the hatted axis. We can go from capital K to hat pretty easy. We can go to small k to the hatted axis pretty easy. Okay, so one trick we actually can put here, this K, what it is, what, how else could we write that second component? What's always aligned with that small k of our axes up here? So we said small xyz spinning with the disk. Yeah, k hat. So we already got k. Let's draw the hat on top. All right, that's always a line there. So we got that guy right away. Okay. How do we go from? Well, we need to get the kind of capital K into the hatted axis. So we needed to find some kind of rotation matrix. What's that rotation about? Well, we haven't drawn up kind of capital X, Y, but maybe we can. And say, well, from that, it's just that is just Y, X. So then we have, let's do that the other way. Sorry about that. Let's draw that the other way so we get a positive 60. So then we have a positive 60 degrees around that x-axis for that rotation, right? So then we have one. And then what we know is that that's the rotation matrix that allows us to do this. Okay, so we write that. What is this then? Yeah, just the transpose. Okay. So what that allows us to do, we can look at K and know what terms go here by working out that matrix math. So we know we can go from capital K and know what components of the hatted axis comprise capital K. Okay. And we would figure that out. You can write it up if you do that math. Probably a good exercise to practice some of your matrix math skills. Sine 60 and the J hat. So you can plug that in over here and collect terms, and away you go. You got omega, the angular velocity of that disk. Okay. All right. And then I have the full plug in math boxed final numerical answer in the notes if you want it. Which is just math, collecting terms and things from there, doing a cross product, which I'm going to assume you guys know how to do. It's your graduate students. Questions about that? Okay. No questions? Let's move on. This is going to be section 3.5. We're going to talk about velocity. And acceleration in moving frames. Again, section 3.5 of your book. If you haven't yet been following what we've been doing in the book, please do. It's a pretty well done book, I think. It will help. So we found previously that we could write the velocity of a point in a movement frame. We kind of worked through that by getting a displacement and then shrinking the displacement down. You guys remember that? Where we could write the velocity of that origin of the frame we're describing it in plus the velocity of the point within that frame, assuming the frame is fixed. It's a relative velocity. And then we had a term that results from the rotation of the frame. That's O prime there. Okay. So we want to be able to, we wrote the velocity we got there. If you're just looking at displacements and shrinking things out, probably how you learn how to do derivatives. Let's look at the acceleration of that. Well, the acceleration of that point in moving frames is the total time derivative of the velocity, right? So let's write this out to start out with. Total time derivative. Well, we want to take ddt of that guy plus ddt p. Total time derivative of that term. Right. Total time derivative of the cross product. Okay, pretty straightforward. Let's look at each one of these terms independently. So let's look at the first one. ddt of vo prime. The vector. Well, we have a vector, we're looking for the, we have the total time derivative of velocity vector. That's just going to be the acceleration of that vector, or acceleration of that point, O prime. Right? So this is just the Excel. Acceleration of the frame origin, that O prime. Okay, look at the second term. We have ddt all right. So we have the total time derivative of a vector that's described in a moving frame. How do we get that? Wrote up on the board a minute ago. All right, so we're going to take the relative of that plus some term that results from the angular velocity of the frame. Okay. Again, this is the derivative, assuming that this kind of relative derivative is assuming that frame XYZ is fixed. This accounts for it rotating. All right. So we could probably write this, and we will, as some kind of relative acceleration. If you want, we can actually subscript that as well. I kind of mentally do that, because that's the angular velocity of frame XYZ. You won't often see that done, though, so don't be confused. One reason I'm not doing it is the book doesn't do it. You won't see books that do that, generally. Okay. So we have that second term taken care of. Let's look at the third term. Total time derivative, omega, that's omega small xyz2. You wanted to write it. Okay. Well, derivative of cross product, you just have to do chain rule, basically, right? So two pieces of that guy. Okay. Well, what is this? This first piece over here. Total time derivative of a angular velocity vector. Is what?
Angular acceleration.
So we get that first term. We'll call that alpha prime. Okay. So we have one term there. What's the time derivative of this kind of position of P relative to O prime? Is it like any other term we have in this equation? What? Okay, so let's think we have a vector. I guess one piece of it looks like something we have. Vector in space, how do we get its derivative? Anybody now? For the third time. Relative to derivative. All right. Well, if the relative derivative of this thing, right? This is the position of that point within the moving frame, right? With respect to the origin of that moving frame, right? What does that look like?
VP, XYZ.
That's right. It's just the velocity, assuming the frame is fixed. Right. And then we have some term. Representing the contribution from the rotation of that frame. Okay. So omega cross. All right, let's put all this together. So we can write it, some velocity from the frame's, or some acceleration from the frame's origin. We have some acceleration of point P, relative acceleration within the frame. We have alpha cross R prime. This term. Plus omega cross R P prime plus 2 cross point. There you go. Because we had omega XYZ there, cross VP, we have it here, too. I think you're probably not going to have a choice if you're working problems a lot to just remember these two. Know where they came from, but those are two equations that you should just know if you're doing dynamics. All right, let's look at two special cases of this guy. Special case one. Only translation. So the frame we're using to describe our point is moving, but it's only translating. Well, that means that, hey, has no angular velocity, has no angular acceleration. Right, that frame. What does that do for our equation here? We have x, y, z, 0, 0, 0. Yeah. Okay. All right, if look at that. Let's look at kind of a maybe 1B, maybe. Okay. What happens when this is the case? Well, I'm sure you can do that math, but I'll write it out to be explicit. The results to that. What does that tell you about that frame that we're looking at in 1B now?
It's just translating at a constant speed.
Yeah, it's translating at a constant speed. Just translating, not rotating. What does this get us? What's nice? Why are we wasting 5 minutes of class to talk about this special case? Something special about a frame where this holds. Even have a special name.
Inertial.
Yeah, it's an inertial. It's a fixed. It's a Newtonian reference frame. Inertial reference frame, right? Because what this is saying is the total acceleration at that point is just the acceleration within the frame. Right. There's nothing else contributing. Right. So what does that mean? Well, that means I can do my equations of motion in this frame. Right. That's a valid construction. Inertial frame, you hear it called a Galilean frame as well. It's an inertial reference frame, meaning I can write my equations of motion in this frame without worrying about anything outside. Okay, that's an important point. Not all frames, you can't do that with all frames. All right, let's look at point two. Point two, let's say, point P is fixed in the moving frame. So the frame's moving, rotating, doing whatever, but P is fixed within that frame. What does that mean? Well, those two guys are zero. Okay. So what you get to those two simplified forms of these equations. Why do we bring up this case? Why are we wasting valuable class time to talk about this case? When is this one common? When does this happen? You have a moving frame, P is fixed within that frame. I promise I'm more comfortable with awkward silence than you guys are. So you might as well start thinking.
I might go out on a limb and say linkages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So P is fixed within that moving frame. Basically, linkages are a special case of what we're really getting to. It's rigid bodies. Right? My wrist is always the same distance from my elbow. If it's not, I have some big problems going on. Right? The distance from one point on this case to the other is always the same for treating as rigid body. Right. So this case comes up a lot. Right. I have 2 points on the same rigid body. My shoulder joint, I have a joint at each end or something. Right. So I know this distance is always fixed. I want to know, I can write the velocity of this point based on the, knowing what's going on at my shoulder. Right. And how long that linkage is. But, yeah, these two guys, you're going to get tired of seeing those, I'm guessing. Basically, every problem we work, we'll need, need those. Some things to pay attention if you're doing, if you're getting to velocity, right, you don't need to do that twice. You're going to know it from over here the first time. Right, so a lot of these terms are reused. So take advantage of that when you're working problems. Make sure it's right, and then reuse it. Right. All right, let's try to frame this in an example. Let's leave that up. Save us a little bit of writing, maybe. I'm going to do example 311. Okay. Again, I will maybe draw a simplified version of this guy a little bit. Some kind of linkage there that is rotating. This way, capital Omega. Okay. From that, T-bar attachment. Has length L1 for the first length L2 for the second length. Okay. This guy angle is theta. That theta is not fixed. Right, so you have a perfect pin joint here, so this guy can wobble back and forth. To find some points maybe to match this connection point over here is A, B, and the end point is C. Okay, so this guy is constant theta, not constant. What we want velocity and acceleration at point C. All right. The book does this two different ways, actually. So this is a good look at both of those ways, understand both of them. We're going to do a third way that's slightly different in the book. So I've got three ways of working the same problem, basically. All right. Again, that's also something I highly recommend you guys do on your own. Just work problems multiple ways. All right. So what's our first step? Choose some coordinate frames. All right. What should I choose?
Big Z lined up with A.
What does it mean to line up with a point?
Vertically?
Cool. Okay. All right. I agree with that, but I'm going to agree in a different direction than you probably were thinking. Okay. Why would I choose that as opposed to up? It's positive. Yeah, exactly right. Okay. So when I do that, that means fixed y, where am I at, x? No, that's okay, need capital Z there. That's going to be a different y. Sorry. All right. What other frame do I want, should I have? Just leave the Z, we're going to place the capital X, XY in a minute. Some kind of little x that lines up with AB. Exactly right. That's actually what I'm going to do. That was that y I just drew up. So small x there, small y, and small z will be up then. It's right hand coordinate frame. Okay. So we have YZ is fixed. And we're going to have small XYZ. That's fixed to AB. Where I is aligned along that. Another thing, when we're talking recommendations, I would recommend writing these notes to yourself. I'm going to define one more frame here. There's a few more in the book's drawing for how they're solving the problem. I'm going to do E theta E R. Okay. And hopefully, maybe you're understanding why I'm doing that. If not, hang on a minute and it will become clear, I believe. All right, so we have some frames. We're given all these links. We want to get to velocity and acceleration of point C. How do we get there? Well, nobody makes eye contact when I ask a question. Everybody's taking really good notes at that point.
So we can define like the velocity of C in terms of our,
start with the position of C.
Yeah.
You can start with the position of C and then do total time derivatives. That certainly will get you there. That's the long way to go. Okay. What of this can I find a velocity of pretty easily? What's the velocity of point A? Zero. So that's zero. It should make it pretty easy to do this. We haven't decided a frame yet. Right. And if that's fixed to AB, well, it makes sense to maybe do that. Right. And they're on the same rigid body, so that I left it out, but I'll make it explicit, and we can make it zero. The relative velocity of B in that XYZ frame, right? This thing's rotating with the linkage. They're always the same fixed distance, right? So we know that's zero, which is why I kind of wrote them out of order, right? And we just say, well, hey, the velocity of point A is zero. What is the velocity of that small, angular velocity of the small XYZ frame? Capital omega, what direction? You can write a few ways. Well, we did, and we picked that capital Z to make this happen. What else is it, though? I can define in other frames. I have it drawn up there.
Negative omega level Z.
Yeah.
Or little K.
That's right. Just that. Okay. And what is the other term? What's that distance?
At 1.
In what direction?
Positive x, little x. Positive big x, big I.
Well, not necessarily. It might be at this instant, right? Because x, y, z are rotating, capital X, y, z are not. Okay. So I got to B. B is not so hard. Right? And you could get there even quicker. You say, this is just a point in pure rotation. You can probably write that velocity right away, right, without even having to go through these steps. But good exercise. So we did it. Okay, now how do I write C? Just write out the equation, then we'll talk through what the terms might be in this case. Okay. So, we have velocity v from that. Let's start with writing the position. Position of C with respect to B is what? It's always a line there, right? Yeah, we're going to have to get that back into the eyes, but we define that frame. Let's use it, right? But then what this is going to let us do is write that rotation matrix from theta to ijk. Okay. So if we do that, what kind of rotation is that? What axis are we rotating about? How do we get from here to there?
Rotate about little y.
Yeah. Right? It's just a simple rotation about y. Small y. Y is always aligned to that pin. There's a small rotation, so we can write ER is basically the I in this new frame, if you want to think of it that way. Right. So it's theta in a second, too. Might as well write it. And the binormal is always still aligned with y, because the rotation is about that direction. Right? If we're doing the... Okay. So we know this guy is then just L2... Okay. So that gets us the position of C with respect to B. It's one of our terms. We have this already. Right? We figured out what the rotation rate of that frame was. Next term we need the velocity of C within that XYZ frame. What is that? Or how do I get it?
Do we need to find, like, where the position of C is in that frame, and then just take the total time?
Yeah, so you could, and in fact, what I do in the notes here is just take the total time derivative of that. Right. It'll say L2 is going to be fixed, but theta is not. Right. So you could just do brute force math about that. How else could you get there? You're in a point within that frame of pure rotation here. What direction is that velocity always in? Yeah, it's always in the E theta. So you could just think of this in polar coordinates, basically, and know that the endpoint velocity is always in E theta. So you know it's going to be L2 theta dot in the E theta. And then do this to get the term you need. All right. So you could do that. And let's see. I'll write out those terms. I think we need to show the math in this case. Theta I plus L2 theta cosine theta. That's a K there, right? Okay. Why do we not have to worry about these derivatives of those unit vectors when we do this? Because they're not fixed, right? Not quite. What are we looking at here? Yeah, we're assuming that, right, we're getting the velocity within the frame. So that's assuming that frame is fixed. So in this case, hey, we're assuming that IJK fixed. Because that's the relative velocity within the frame. Assume it's fixed, basically. All right. That gets us all the terms we need. So let's write everything out, I suppose. Velocity of B was all we had there, minus K cross L1i, should be L1j, K cross size minus minus L1. That direction right. K cross I is positive. Yeah. Okay. So we got velocity of B. Does that make sense physically for it to be that in that direction? Well, think about what this point B doing. It's just in pure rotation, right? What direction is it? Its velocity. It's always tangent to where it's at. Well, what direction is that going to be in relative to that small frame? It's going that way, which is, for us, y is coming out of the board, so that's a minus j. Right. So we have a length times a spin rate in the minus j direction. Point in pure rotation, that makes sense to me. All right. So we have, let's see, C then. Space. Sorry about that. Cross with, yeah. That is right. So B, relative velocity within the frame, components from the rotation. All right, and then you can, I assume you can do that. Those steps are, a few steps of the math are in the notes. Make sure we get to at least a little bit of time to talk about the acceleration. All right, so how do we get to the acceleration then? Do the same thing. Should be it. Okay. So, what do we need to know here? Well, do we need to know the acceleration of B? Right. Its origin. All right, so then let's think about this and see what parts of this might go away for us. All right. We'll start with the acceleration of point B. What goes away there?
Acceleration A.
Acceleration A, we know it's fixed in space, so it's zero. What else? That was a vector. Is a vector. Is B accelerating within that XYZ frame?
No.
No, right? it's on the same rigid body. So that's that special case two we talked about. So I know that goes away, and there's no velocity in a point B within that body. So they're all in the same rigid body. We could have just jumped to the simple rigid body form of that equation, if you really recognize that. Okay. What is alpha in this case?
Zero.
Why?
Because omega is constant.
Okay.
But we have an alpha tangential, an alpha normal, right? Like going towards A.
Okay. Well, if we have a question. Do the total time derivative. All right, we have okay. So the first term is zero because you said we have constant rotation rate. What about the second term? Small k ever changing? Doesn't change amplitude because it's a unit vector. Does it change in direction? No. That's 0, 2. But a word of warning, don't think just because you have constant rotation rates, you necessarily have 0 angular acceleration. Because if that vector is changing at all, It gets rid of that term, but you still have the second term to at least think about and make sure that the axis it's spinning about is actually fixed. Okay, what else do we need to find? Okay, so in that case, we know, hey, this guy goes to zero. Right. Also know, hey, that guy's going to be zero too. We're getting rid of terms pretty nicely. All right. What is do this? That. How could you get there? Or how could you get there really quickly? There's a bunch of different ways to get there. L to theta, that's part of it. Remember those directions are changing too. Right. So that vector, here we go. EAR is not in a fixed direction. Right. So what's the acceleration? You should look at the acceleration of a point in pure rotation. You could L to, what's it going to be? Which is just the polar coordinate acceleration of a point that you probably learned in some kind of high school math class.
Is it the derivative of this VC?
Yep. So you take the total time derivative, yeah. So if you write that L2, if you just wrote this as L2 theta dot ER and took the derivative, you get this in terms of ER and E theta. The second part, this e theta in the square, comes from, you can think about the how does the tip of this vector change, right? It's always in the e theta direction, so you're going to have some e theta component when that vector changes direction. Okay. But the point and why I wanted to kind of write it that way, think about it and why I wanted to work this problem this way, which is different than the book, is that you can use some basic knowledge of your physics knowledge, thinking about the frame carefully. We can skip a bunch of steps. We know this already, right? Rather than working out derivatives, and trying to figure out what cancels. Right? So you can use some knowledge of the actual physics of the system to aid your solution. Blindly following steps is going to make all this stuff really hard, really tedious. So you always be thinking about what's this physically represent. And I guess it gives you, if you develop that intuition, that also gives you a check, you know, like we did for the velocity of point B. Is it in the right direction? It doesn't make sense, right, for what we're doing. We could do the same thing for acceleration at point B, right? It's just in a pure circle. Right, so it would be something similar in IJK, which we do. Okay. You guys need to see the math? There's a bunch of it. I'm thinking no. Okay. I want to get to one more point in our last few minutes. It kind of ties all this together. But I will post the full math. You can check your skills if you want. Check my skills. Okay, let's talk about linkages since you brought that up earlier. Oh, questions about that process. That process that we just went through is the same. You know, any kind of linkage thing you have, what we'll see, basically, find the points you can describe velocity, acceleration easily, and chain them together, which is exactly what we're going to talk about. But questions in general about that problem. For alpha, angular acceleration of XYZ?
Like besides if omega wasn't constant.
So omega's not constant, or maybe you had some precession of this axis as well. So the direction. Okay. Direction's not constant.
What you were thinking about is the total acceleration is non-zero.
Yeah.
The alpha is.
Right.
Okay. Other questions? Okay, let's look at kind of an extension of what we just worked, really. But I think helpful to see it out in a sketched out at least. I'm going to draw for just a second, and then we'll talk about that's probably enough. 2, 3, 4. Okay. So we have 4 linkages. Call them A, B, C, and D. And we know something about their lengths and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we can define these points too. Point out here, B. Okay. This is not a not uncommon thing for us to really look at. Right? I have some linkage to some robotic arm or something, right? And I need to know, quite often I'm trying to control each one of these joints to make P go where I want it to be, to pick up some object or to weld something or whatever. So if I'm trying to do that, I need to know velocity and acceleration of point P. Okay. I know for all of these guys, hey, you know, I could just write this vector, right? Somehow take brute force, total time derivatives of that vector, and away you go. But that doesn't actually naturally fit with this problem, how this system's set up. Because what you're trying to control are the actual linkages. Right? You can control these angles, let's say, quite often. So if we're writing a velocity at point P, well, hey, that's just the velocity of Q. Omega D. And the velocity of that body cross with R relative to PQ. Right. Well, then, hey, I can write the velocity of Q is just the velocity of point R Q R. Okay. And I can write the velocity of R I can do that as long as I need to get back to some fixed point that I can describe to get the total velocity. I can do the same thing with acceleration. Right. Why are the relative velocity terms not showing up in these equations? Yeah, it's on those two points are on the rigid body. Right. So there's no velocity within that frame between them. There's no relative velocity. Right. So this is how you get, you know, we worked a kind of simple case of this in that example, but these guys just map out indefinitely if you need to. And you could do same thing with acceleration. Just map your way back to zero, to some fixed point necessary. Okay, questions? Is
that what you would want to do, right?
As small as possible, what do you mean?
Like the minimum change in angle for each linkage so that you could get P to where you want it to be.
Yeah, it turns out that's still an active area of research. Like, what's the optimal move for this? Particularly if you start having constraints on, like, kinematically we can get it, right? But if you start having constraints on motor torques and things like that, then it becomes a much more difficult problem. It's really a nonlinear controls problem. This controlling kind of serial manipulators within the presence of torque limits or rate limits and things like that is still an active area of work, actually. But in terms of, I thought you were going down the path of how do I make the math of this easy, which is also a good question to ask. Yeah, I mean, I think you want, you know, have frames align with the link so that, you know, you have an eye at each, you're going to have the different frames. All right, so you can write, you could write angular velocity. So those are going to add together, basically. So if you have this frame, it's going to have this angular velocity plus that one. It's that one. So just being smart about what the frame directions are and things like that is the key to making all this math come out a bit easier. All right, I will see you guys on Thursday.